Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 192, and I'm recording this on June 1st, 2009. Well, today I wanted to recap a little event that we did at the end of the school year a couple weeks ago. I created an optional, I guess the word is club, but it's kind of just an optional group, extracurricular group, I guess would be a better term, of students at my junior high that like history, and we did several different events this year. We call ourselves the History Geeks, and we'll do some things like listen to some speakers. For 3 consecutive months, we had different speakers come in on an evening and talk about what they did that related to history, museum curators, a film director that has a lot of stuff with history. We had a variety of different people come in and talk. But we did a final thing at the end of the year this year with bison chips. And I wanted to talk a little bit about our bison chip cookout. And if you follow me at all on Twitter, I did mention on Twitter several months ago that I received some buffalo chips in the mail. And some people asked me on Twitter what we're going to do with that. So I was going to kind of recap that a little bit. And I do have a variety of pictures available on our blog, which is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. And in addition to the pictures I have on the blog, I also have a link to our Flickr set that has a lot more pictures from this event. So anyway, I teach 8th grade American history. I've done that for the last 8 years. And before I did that, I taught 7th through 12th grade social studies in small communities in Nebraska. So I've taught about Western expansion and the Oregon Trail in some capacity for the last 15 years. And as we look at the settlers moving west, and then the people that were the original pioneers on the Great Plains, one of the things that is commonly talked about is the fact that when they did need fuel for either keeping warm or for cooking, that there really wasn't that much available firewood. There wasn't that much available firewood to begin with, and then as people moved west, what was available was used for building materials or for fuel. So what they decided to use instead of wood was the actual buffalo chips. There were literally thousands of buffaloes on the plains, and they were leaving deposits of manure, and these would dry, and they soon found out that these became an excellent source of fuel. Well, I've taught about this for the last 15 years, and we've talked about it, but I've never actually done anything to see like how a buffalo chip burns. And so this year, I decided that this would be an interesting activity to do. And so I went out and tried to find a place that would give me some dried buffalo chips. And we are located just outside of Kansas City, Missouri, a suburb just outside of Kansas City. And so I contacted several different bison ranches in Missouri. And the first couple that I talked to on the phone basically thought I was nuts, because I was just asking them if they would send me some buffalo chips, some dried buffalo chips that we could use for a class experiment. And then finally, about the third or fourth one that I contacted, the individual that I talked to said yes. And she was a former school teacher, so she kind of knew where I was coming from as far as, you know, kind of trying to do something a little bit unusual and unique. I'm not going to give the name of the buffalo, I'm not going to give the name of the bison ranch, because I don't think they want it to become a commonly repeated practice that they send out dried buffalo manure to different people that request it. But they did send it to me through the United States Postal Service. It was completely dried. They wrapped it, they put it in a box, sealed it with tape, and then sent it directly to school. So I did have just one box of buffalo chips sent to our school. And then my parents live in Nebraska, and they located a bison ranch that's near where they live, and they brought down a little bit of buffalo chips as well. And I ended up not using those because they were a little bit too wet. It's something that if you wanted to replicate this, I think you could probably find a bison ranch close to you. Again, depends a little bit on where you're at. If you're in downtown, you know, New York City, you're probably going to have a little bit tougher time. But in most places in the United States, I think if you kind of do a little bit of research, you'll probably be able to find someone relatively close that has bison chips. Again, depends on where you're at, but once I started to do some research, I found that there are quite a few places. And then after I had this place mailed them to me, I actually found a place that was very close to our school, or actually probably could have just drove over and picked up some if I asked them. So next year I'll probably definitely use some local product a little bit more than something that was sent to me. But anyway, so I had these buffalo chips, and I talked about it in school and told the kids that, you know, I wanted to burn these as they would have during a cookout. And so we decided to make it a genuine cookout. I had people over, and I invited students as well as their parents if they wanted to. I invited our principals, and we were going to have a hot dog grill going, but then I was also going to have a separate buffalo chip grill. So we did not cook the hot dogs over the buffalo chips. We did that over a gas grill, but then I have this old grill that we use, that we used to use for barbecuing, that is now officially the buffalo chip barbecue grill. That will probably only be used for that. And I laid down a bed of regular charcoal, and I got that going. And then I had a buffalo chip that was probably about a foot in diameter. It was a fairly large buffalo chip, and it was extremely dry. And that's really probably the key to this if you want to replicate this. Definitely pick something that is completely dry. If you pick buffalo chips that have any moisture in them, you're going to get a lot of smoke, and it's just going to be kind of not really like a manure-ish type smell, but really kind of a wet, smoky type smell when you burn them. So I took our grill, and I had a bed of charcoal, and the settlers would have done something similar to this. They wouldn't have used charcoal, but they would have used something to start the fire. Because if you just take a lighter, for example, and take it up to a dry buffalo chip, it's going to get a little bit charred on the end, but it's not really going to like burst into flames. So I had the bed of charcoals, and then once they were hot, I spread them out, and then I just laid the buffalo chip on top of the charcoal, and it lit right up. And if you look on the blog, the pictures, you'll see like right around the edge, those actually like got a little bit of a flame to it, and they kind of started on fire around the outside, and then you could kind of tell underneath that was beginning to burn and ignite as well. And then slowly, it basically was like a piece of charcoal. It maintained heat, and it radiated heat, and it really didn't smoke that much. It basically smoked the same amount that a charcoal briquette would. There wasn't any smoke really at all associated with it. We let the buffalo chip get hot and begin to radiate heat, and then we took some marshmallows, and we made some roasted marshmallows, and then made s'mores out of it. And there were probably about like 10 of us that did this. We had a principal, we had some parents, we had a couple students, and so we made these s'mores over the buffalo chip, and you know, nobody complained of any odor or smoke or anything. So just kind of an interesting way to see how that worked. It lasted a fairly long time. I would say it probably maintained heat for probably half hour to 40 minutes easily, and then once it started to get to the end, it began to get really ashy, kind of almost like a completely used charcoal briquette would get after it had been used in the fire. And I just kind of hit it a little bit with a stick, and then it began to flake apart, and it all just became like ashes. So it's actually a really cool thing to do. You know, I want to do it again next year. Again, the key is getting a really dried, definitely a very dried piece of buffalo manure. I don't think you want to use anything that has any moisture in it at all. And they would have had plenty of opportunity to get dried buffalo manure because there would have been so much of it on the plains. And there's quite a few historical journals that talk about either housewives or children going out, and basically their chore for that day was to get a wheelbarrow full of dried buffalo manure and then bring it back to the campsite or bring it back to the homestead, and then they would use it for their fire, for fuel. So it is fairly well documented. People did it a lot. It was something that was available. It was free, and it worked. So just kind of one of those things that we've always talked about it in class, but I've never actually done it. And I'm not the kind of guy that's going to do everything in history to kind of like feel what it was like. I don't like camping out in the freezing rain and wet, you know, conditions to feel like a Civil War soldier and things like that. I appreciate people that do reenactments like that, but I just don't get fully into that role. But it was kind of neat to do something with buffalo chips and at least kind of see how they would have worked on a campfire back during frontier. So just kind of a neat little thing to do. If you've had any experiences burning bison chips, I would love to hear your comments, and you can leave a comment on the blog. And again, we're at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. And I told my wife that I wouldn't do this, but I had a whole bunch of funny puns that you could use along with this different topic. The only one that I'll leave you with is that since school was almost out for the year, I did kind of phrase it that it was a school is almost dung party. So that's kind of the only one that I was allowed to share with you. But obviously, you can imagine there's lots of fun that the students had along with this. So that's all that I have for today. So I guess I'm done. Oh, there I go again. So I guess I'm done for the day. And again, leave a comment. I would love to hear any comments or suggestions. Or again, if someone's done this on a campsite, if someone's done this as part of a experiment or just having fun with their history class, I would love to hear your experiences burning bison dung and buffalo chips as well. So that's all for today. And remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. This is Eric Langhorst for Speaking of History, signing off. Have a great day. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.